Let me invite you to stand and take your Bibles and repeat after me. This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
I believe it to be the Word of the Living God.
I believe it to be the Word of the Living God.
And I covenant with Him that I will study it each day. I want God's will to be done in my life.
I want to be led by the Holy Spirit.
I want to be like Jesus.
Jesus.
Loving Father, we approach your throne of grace again. Our hearts are filled with gratitude and thanks for all the blessings you bestow upon us. And I ask now, Lord, that you would just draw nigh unto us. And Lord, we would leave this place knowing that we have spent this time with you. And again, I ask that you'd be with me this morning as I bring the message. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I want to continue in our series, The Battle for the Mind, and this is installment number 8. I have one more. But I have subtitled my sermon this morning, Miss Clancy's Speck of Heaven. Miss Clancy's Speck of Heaven. For some time, we've been talking about guarding our thought life, keeping a close watch to the door of our mind. We have learned that we've been in this spiritual warfare that's taking place all around us, and the enemy's main weapon is deception. Yeah. So I want to share with you this morning how important it is for us to follow the road that God has planned. To begin, let me invite you to open your Bibles again to the 7th chapter of Matthew's Gospel, Matthew chapter 7, and verses 13 and 14. The Bible says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction. And many enter through it, but small is the gate and narrow is the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." Enter by the narrow gate is God's admonition for us. This quarter in our Sabbath school, we're talking about the crucibles. And as we journey down the highway of life, we find that there are times that it can be very difficult. Not because God necessarily places obstacles in our way, but I can tell you that the enemy will. The devil will bring every obstacle in our path along the highway of life to cause us to be discouraged, to lose hope, to lose our way. To lose our way is to be walking in the broad way. We're lost. Now let me ask you a question. If you are walking down the narrow way, and for some reason you have been waylaid by the devil, and you get off on the broad road, do you think that the people on the broad road who are lost can give you directions to get back to the straight and narrow? No. The text is a scripture, that tells us specifically that God has a pathway for our lives. It is straight and is narrow, but it is up to us to make sure that we are not deceived by the enemy. We must follow our guide and stay on the narrow road to reach the final destination of heaven. Eye hath not seen nor ear heard what God has in store for those who love Him. The Bible speaks of blessings for obedience. If you go back in Deuteronomy 28:1-10, God, the first 14, 15 verses dealing with blessings that will come upon God's people because of obedience. And this afternoon, if you get an opportunity before the Sabbath is out, open up Deuteronomy 28 and contemplate on what God has written there. But basically, what God says in His Word, stay in the middle of my will for your lives. Stay in the middle of the road. Enter the straight and narrow, He says, and I will bless you. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 says, Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. We must understand that God has a specific plan for each one of our lives. We are so valuable to God that He personally mapped out a course for each one of us. That's why it's so important that we are sensitive to His voice, that we seek His will and not go off to the left or the right. Don't let the devil get us off track. And the only way that I know that we can beat the devil in his game is to spend time with the Lord. Spend time in His Word. Another trick of the enemy to get us off the straight and the narrow is to keep us busy. Several months ago, I received an email, and folks, I want to tell you, And I don't get it so much right here. Let me say this. But for some reason or other, when you get on the internet, and there's 100 of these things on there, and a lot of it is junk, it's okay, but I don't have time to read it, and I just bump it out and move on. But some of these things are interesting. This is the one that someone sent. Starts out that Satan calls a worldwide convention. He is addressing the evil angels, and he says, we can't keep the Christians from going to church, we can't keep them from reading their Bibles and knowing the truth, but we can do something. We can keep them from forming an intimate relationship with Jesus. Because, he said, if they gain that connection, if they have that relationship with Jesus, our power over them will be broken. So let them read their Bibles, but let's steal their time. How can we do this? Shouted one of the angels from those he was addressing. And the devil looks and he says, we will keep them busy with the non-essentials of life. Invent schemes to occupy their minds. We attempt them to spend, and then borrow. Convince the wives to work long hours and husbands to work 6 or 7 days a week so they can afford their lifestyles. Keep them from spending time with their children. As the family fragments, soon their home will offer no escape from the pressures of work. Overstimulate their minds so they cannot hear that still small voice. Entice them to keep the radio playing, the TV, the VCRs, the CDs, the iPods, the PCs. Keep them going constantly in their homes. This will jam their mind and break the union with Jesus. Pound their minds 24/7. Flood their mailboxes with junk mail, sweepstakes, and mail order catalogs. Even in their recreation, let them be excessive. Have them return home, exhausted, disquieted, and unprepared for the coming week. And when they meet for spiritual worship, involve them in gossip and small talk so that they leave with a troubled conscience and unsettled emotions. Has the devil been successful? He most certainly has. Have you ever completed a Bible study series only for them to tell you that they are too busy or they have no time to attend church? Or maybe they are contemplating coming to church or joining the church, but then one of their friends tell them that the only thing they want done at that church is your money. You've heard that before, hadn't you? When you came to church this morning, let me ask you, did you have to pay to get in here? Was there any advertising out there in the parking lot or in the lobby telling you to put so much money in? Did we have the ushers or maybe a couple of ushers standing back there with these machines that you could slip your credit card through? Did you see any of that when you came in this morning? No, of course not. Now, if you go down to Walmart or Sears or Dillard's, they want your money. I never heard anyone ever say, don't go down to the mall, don't go to Walmart, because all they want is your money. You see, the devil comes with all kinds of reasons why we shouldn't support the church. My sermon this morning is Miss Clancy's Speck of Heaven. Here are the 10 top excuses that people give for not supporting the church. Number 10, returning tithe and offering is legalism, and I don't want to be a legalist. Number 9, I'm up to my ears in debt, and I'll start paying tithe as soon as I pay it off. Number 8, stewardship involves a lot more than just money. I give my time and my talents. Number 7, tithing doesn't apply to Christians today. It was only for Old Testament Israel. Number 6, I would like to tithe, but I can't afford it. The 5th reason why people don't pay tithe, I'd like to tithe, but my spouse doesn't agree. I have to respect that. Number 4, I would pay tithe, but I'm starting out in life without any savings. Number 3, I would pay tithe, but I'm on Social Security pension, and I have very little savings. Number 2, my giving is between God and me, and no one else. And the number 1 reason that people don't pay tithe, it's my money. Have mercy on us. Carlyle B. Ames was a prominent evangelist, an author, church administrator during the first half of the 20th century. Some of you may remember Carlyle B. Ames. He was an old-time Adventist evangelist. Let me share this story with you. It was in the summer of 1919, and Elder Ames conducted an evangelistic series. It was a tent series on 95th Street and Broadway in New York City. And to these meetings came an elderly immigrant lady who was introduced to Elder Ames by the name of Miss Clancy. Elder Ames says, I've never met anyone who displayed a more positive confidence in the Bible than she did. She required nothing more than a clear, thus saith the Lord, to instantly accept the truth. During the meetings, he delivered 2 sermons on the subject of tithing, making plain from the Bible the requirements that all who serve God are to return tithe and offerings. And it soon became evident that this really disturbed Miss Clancy. Her usual cheerful disposition was gone, and she asked to talk with Elder Ames. Of course, he was happy to do so. And speaking of Miss Clancy, he recalls the vivid impression that was made up on his mind. Pastor, Miss Clancy began, your sermon on tithing has caused me deep concern. And I need to know what the Lord would have me do. Is there something that isn't clear? Asked Elder Ains. Oh, it's not that, to be sure, said Miss Clancy. It's clear enough, all right. That's the trouble. I know what the Bible says. What plagues me is whether it means me. And if it means me, how in the world am I to do what it says? What do you mean about whether it means you? Asked Pastor Ames. I mean, can it possibly include anyone in my circumstances? Well, Miss Clancy, of course. Wait a minute, Pastor. Don't answer me until you've heard the whole story. Before you tell me anything, just hear my situation and then tell me if you think the Lord would have me return my tithe. Very well, Miss Clancy, I'm listening, said Pastor Ains. Well, Pastor, I'm a lone woman. I have no folks in this country except a niece who lives with her husband in Bridgeport, Connecticut. He has no obligation to take care of me, but he does. All the income I have in the world is what he sends me each week. How much is that? Asked Pastor Ains. $6 a week. How do you manage on $6 a week? Ah, that's it. How do I manage? I don't know, but somehow the dear Lord covers my needs. I live in a kitchenette apartment I've moved into years ago when the rent was low, and the blessed landlord hasn't raised mine. I think he feels sorry for me. How much of your $6 does it take for rent? Asked Pastor Ains. $4.50. Pastor Ains asked, do you mean that all you have for food, clothing, and other necessities is $1.50 a week? That's what I mean, Pastor. And I can keep on doing it, only now you come along and tell me to tithe on my $6. And look where that leaves me. But I didn't tell you, Miss Clancy, that you must tithe your $6. It was the Lord who cared for you all these years in his book. I just showed you. Oh, I know that, Pastor. But it comes to the same thing so far as I'm concerned. What I'm after is whether it means that I should return my tithe. Why do you think he would make an exception? Asked Pastor Ains. Well, Pastor, don't you see what that would mean to me? If I were to start returning my tithe, that would take 60 cents of my $6 to begin with. My rent is unchanged, and that with the tithe comes to $5.10, and I have 90 cents to live on. And for a week, mind you, Pastor, for a week. Now that you know what this means to me, do you think the Lord wants me to pay tithe? Pastor Ains said, his first impulse was to say, no, Miss Clancy, I don't think the Lord means that you should return your tithe. I strongly believe that the Lord can manage to get along without your 60 cents a week. Just keep it, and we'll try to do something to make things easier for you. Pastor Ains says, but I didn't say that. An instant thought prevented me. Who are you to set aside the commandments of God? Now, in my imagination, I can see what's played out in this story. Miss Clancy comes to the pastor, and the pastor has that compassion on her, and he's going to say, no, don't do that. But then there's this voice, the Lord speaks to him. Who are you to set aside the commandments of God? So I said, Miss Clancy, all I can do is point you to God's book and his wonderful promises and then encourage you to do as he says and trust him to make the impossible possible. My advice for you is to do what God tells you to do and to begin returning your tithe at once. Elder Haynes says, for the first time since we began talking, Miss Clancy smiled cheerfully and said, I'll do it. I'll take your advice, Pastor, because I think it's good counsel. It won't be the first time I've trusted God, and if he fails me, well, it will be the first time he has. Pastor Ames encouraged her that God would not fail her. Miss Clancy thanked Pastor Ames, and she left his office. The following week, on Sabbath, Miss Clancy brought him 60 cents in an envelope. Pastor Haynes says there was no money that he had ever taken from anyone that he'd ever received was harder for him to take. He thought, I'll let the Lord manage this, and I'll not interfere. So he took the 60 cents, he turns it over to the treasurer. The treasurer wrote out a receipt for 60 cents, and he brings it back the following week to Miss Clancy. Week after week, this elderly lady was determined, and she brought her 60 cents tithe. A month or so went by, and the pastor inquired of her how she was getting along. Praise God, I am, she replied happily. The third time Pastor Ames asked how she was getting along, she answered, Pastor, something strange is taking place. The neighbors never before did things what they're doing now. What things? Inquired Pastor Ames. Why, they bring me little presents, a loaf of bread, a pound of butter, some flour, some cereal, a quart of milk, fruit, and even a cake. I really think I'm getting along better on my 90 cents a week than I did on $1.50. Do you think someone has put the neighbors up to this? Asked the pastor. Oh, to be sure I do. Who? Inquired Pastor Ames. Need to ask, Pastor? The good Lord hasn't forgotten me, and he hasn't forgot his promise. If you hadn't advised me as you did, you know, you would have robbed me of the blessings that God wanted to give. Pastor Ains says, 3 or 4 months later, Miss Clancy knocked on his door of his study. He invited her in, and she came in with a swagger. There was a big smile on her face, and she stood silently before his desk, and she says, Pastor, you're looking at a woman of means, a woman of wealth, to be sure, and you must show me now due respect. Well, sit down, Miss Clancy, and tell me what's happened. Sure, and it's as I say, I have more money now than I know what to do with. Pastor Ains says, well, Miss Clancy, will you be good enough to sit down and tell me what you have come to tell me? Just as you say, Pastor, you remember that I told you that the blessed nephew of mine that was married to my niece in Connecticut, you remember that I told you of that blessed nephew by marriage of mine up in Connecticut. Well, this week he wrote me a letter, and in it he said, I've felt for some time, Auntie, that you must have a hard time getting by on $6 a week, and I've wanted to send more. Now I can do it, because I have received a raise in my wages. You will find $10 in this letter, and there will be $10 every week from now on. Miss Clancy, this makes me happy. I'm very glad for you, says Pastor Ames. I knew you would be, Pastor, but do you realize what this means? Do you see what God has done? Well, tell me. Why, now my tithe is $1 a week, no less. My rent remains $4.50, Pastor. Are you good at arithmetic? Well, how much is $4.50 more than 90 cents? The pastor paused for a few minutes. He says, 5 times as much, answered Pastor Haynes. To be sure it is. 5 times as much, mind you. And I don't know what to do with all my money. I've been thinking I can do more for missions than I've ever done before. Oh, Pastor, the book says, the Bible says that the windows of heaven are open and the blessings will come too great to receive. That's what the good Lord has done for me. To be sure, the windows of heaven are open on me. You told me he would not fail me, nor has he. It's a happy woman I am this day. That's a good story, isn't it? The question is, how about you? Would you like to put God to the test? God invites, see if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour you out blessings that you won't have room enough to receive it, in Malachi 3, verse 10. Folks, we're on the verge of paying off our piece of property. We still owe about $38,000. We need about $35,000 to have a new set of plans drawn. And then we need to borrow money to build our new church. Folks, I want you to, if you believe this, that we need a new church, when I look around this morning and I see how full that we are and we're not all here. When I look at our classrooms, we don't have adequate classrooms for our young people. Surely, we need to build this new church to the honor and glory of God. What a light it's going to be in our community. So I want to encourage you not to believe the devil's lies. I want to encourage you to support the church with both your tithe and your offerings. Let's not let the enemy rob us of the blessings that God wants to bestow. As I looked at that video this morning, and when they started their new church plans, they didn't have a lot of means, but they both of them prayed together. And can you imagine that both of them would come up with $60,000? And then that week, out of appreciation, his boss would give him $20,000? The Lord has so many ways that we know nothing about. But he does expect us to trust him. He'll open the windows of heaven. Folks, I know I am a living testimony to what God will do for you. Put your trust in him is my advice, in Jesus' name. Amen.